like, good morning, everyone. But I guess I'm waiting for Zhang Jian, who's my co-chair on this working group. I think she's on her way. Morning. I guess she's on her way, so I guess we'll wait for another minute or so before beginning. Hopefully she'll be able to join us. Good morning, everyone. Now that my co-chair Jane is here, good morning. Let's get started. So, Glenn, can you help us get the recordings?
Yes, certainly.
Yes, hello. I'll just start in just a moment.
Thank you.
Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the JIG workgroup meeting. This is the joint CCNSO and GNSO IDN group, and we have three issues that were identified as issues of common interest, one of which is single character IDN TLDs, second one is IDN TLD variants, third one is the universal acceptance of IDN TLDs. Earlier this week, on Monday, we gave a public update on what we're doing with single character IDN TLDs. We also mentioned that this group has started to work on IDN TLD variant, the very thorny issue here, and we observed in the in I think September or October, that the board made a resolution for staff to move forward with to develop a work plan for IDN TL variants. So we have suspended work on that. But we hope that in this meeting we'll get this work restarted. Before I do that, I think we'd like to go around the room just to introduce who you are.
Keith Drazik with VeriSign.
Avri Doria with the NCSG and Lulio University of Technology.
Linda Saint-Gerie, the secretary to the GNSO.
Yohanli.kr.
Fahad Badlaina.jo.
Mary Uduma.ng.
Ricardo Pedraza from VeriSign.
Sean Chen from CNIC.
Suzanne Wolf, ISC, ICANN Board of Directors, RSAC, but here as an individual contributor to the IETF.
And myself, Edmund Chung from .Asia.
Jin Zhang from APTLT.
Tina Diem, ICANN staff.
Olaf Nordling, ICANN staff.
Harald Alvestrøm, ICANN Board of Directors for 30 more hours, and Google.
Dennis Jennings, ICANN board member for 29 hours and 59 minutes and 30 seconds.
Shannon Lee from China.
Wendy Zhao, CNIC.
Patrick Jones, ICANN staff.
Karen Lentz, ICANN staff.
Craig Schwartz, ICANN staff.
And who else is on the line with us today?
And Evan, we have Steve.
Oh, one more.
Steve Shannon, ICANN staff. Thanks.
And I understand there's Rafiq. Are you still? Yeah.
Yeah, Rafiq, University of Tokyo, and GNSO counselor for NCAG.
Thank you, Rafiq. Anyone else on the line? In any case, let's get started. As I was mentioning, we're hoping to get the IDN variant, TLD variant issue restarted, hopefully. And so I guess I'll pass this to Tina to get us started.
Sure. Thanks, Edmund.
Sorry, Tina, may I interrupt you? When you talk, could you please say your name for the transcription purposes?
Yes. Sorry, I just figured Edmund just said it, but my name is Tina Diem, ICANN staff. So thanks, Edmund, and of course, I know you guys have been waiting, or understand that you've been waiting for a while to get moving on variants. So from the staff side, I can say that we obviously also want to get moving on this. It's an important topic, and hopefully the study proposal that we're about to come up with would help move it in a good direction. So what we've been working on is this study proposal on situations where we know that variants are needed. So it's not intended to cover everything variant in the whole world. It's intended to cover a certain set of situations that where the community has expressed that there is a need. And, of course, one of the ways to find that list is by looking at who has requested variants in the fast-track process and where have the public discussions been going on about variants. So instead of solving the whole world, we've distilled it down to those situations that we know, and then hopefully in solving those specific situations, it's going to be possible to, over time, solve it broadly for everyone else. The study proposal, first of all, it's going to come out for public comments, so it's not like you can't see it. We're just working on the last pieces of it, and it will come out for public comments so that the entire community have a chance to provide their input to it and give their feedback on it. But what it contains is a set of case studies, as I said, for different scripts. which really represent different types of variants. So the scripts that are in the current draft and probably will be in the one that's released are Cyrillic, Chinese, Arabic, Latin, and Indian scripts. Those are the situations where staff have observed that variants are in common use and where we know that there is an interest. And of course, the goal with these case studies is to come with a issues report for each one of them that presents the policy issues, the technical issues, but also, more importantly, what we would like the different groups in these case studies to come up with is which issues are of general nature and which are of specific variant issue nature to that specific script. Because in that way, the different groups can learn a little bit from each other, and where there is overlap, things can be a more general solution. And when there's specific issues to be solved, those will be specific for that script. So that's sort of like overall the intent. Now, of course, we need this to fall into place with other work going on. And I'm not gonna pretend that I have a full overview of that in my head right now or in front of me, but I'll mention a couple of things, and then, you know, of course, if we want to discuss it here, I think that would be very helpful as well. We have for a long time talked about, and it's died down lately, but we're bringing it back up. We've talked about an IDN life cycle, which should be more of a technical document that looks at the entire cycle of an IDN so that that can be provided as input to these case studies so that they can, you know, so that we're sure that we have, and I'm not saying that there is any areas that we haven't covered, but to document and make sure that we have covered anything in the entire life cycle of an IDN. And that goes both for registration and resolution, of course. The ESSAC have recently talked about studying IDN variants a little bit closer if they decide to form a group, and I don't know yet if they will, and I'll be honest that I have not followed if they had any meetings this week that made any decision for or against that, but if they decide to do a group study on that, that would also go as input to these five different case studies. There needs to be the cross case study interaction between the teams, and then of course work out of the JIG and other groups in the community who have been working actively on variants. So we want to incorporate all of it, but we specifically want to form five teams that will focus on each one of these scripts. So in terms of forming these teams, I imagine that you know, there is overlaps between all of these groups that I mentioned, and I imagine that members from the JIG would obviously be interested in being in either, you know, some of you would be interested in being in either one of the five teams to make sure that we keep things you know, closely coordinated. So that's overall the plan. I think for me, having lived through this for a little time, I think the most important thing is that we're not solving a general issue, we're solving specific issues for the five different ones. And the other important thing that I will stress is the coordination and communication between the groups and those in the community who are actively involved in it, I think is the most important thing, because when we see communication and coordination falling apart, then it's always resulting in the issue gets more complicated and it feels like it's something that we can't solve. So those are, like, I think the two main aspects of it. The next step from staff is going to be finishing the study proposal and releasing it for public comments. We did worked towards, and we had hoped to do that at this meeting, and I'm really sorry to say that we just haven't been able to accomplish it. There's been too many other things going on. So I don't have a deadline from my management, so I really don't like to sit here and not be able to make a promise on a date, but I will say that it's high priority and something we're going to try to get done as quickly as possible so we can get this paper out. So I think, you know, that's like a lot of talking about plans and where we're headed, but I don't know if there's questions or comments on it. What do you guys think about it?
I jot down a few questions that I'd like to open if anyone wants to ask. If not, I'll start with my few questions. You mentioned study proposal and issues report. Is it one thing or is it sequential?
Sorry,
do you want me to ask all the questions and then answer once in a row faster? Sorry. That's number one. Because they're very pretty short questions. So that's number one. Number two was, would you be open to, you know, is there any reason why you wouldn't circulate the document before the public comment to this group? This is convened for discussing this issue. Third question is in terms of the focus of the study, because all the time when we talk about IDN variants, we often talk about the second level domains as well as second level or the levels of for registration versus top level domain. Is there, you know, is it focused on particular, or, you know, is it focused on TLD? Is really more of my interest. You mentioned the fourth one is you mentioned life cycle. Does that have any bearing with the domain lifecycle? And then the fifth one is how do you think the JIG should interact? And you mentioned coordination as an very important aspect. I think that definitely that is. And I think if you looking at the JIG reports, hopefully you'll find that we really take the bodies of work from different areas and use them for foundation. So coordination and communication is definitely important.
Okay. I wrote them down, so that's how I remember them. This is Tina again. So first of all, I'm sorry if I confused the terminology, but the study proposal, I don't know, I mean, so that's what we call it, but it's simply just the plan for doing these five case studies for everything that I just loosely explained, like a more detailed description of that. That's what we want to post for public comments. And release as quickly as we can. The issues report is the report that then will come out of these five case studies. So each one of them will come out with an issues report. And they, of course, will be coordinated. Once we have the issues report, we can go to the solution, right? So there are different things. Sorry. Circulating the study proposal before to the JIG before we release it for public comments, you know, it's an idea that I'll take back. I don't know that I can sit and make the decision. Suzanne looks like she might have an opinion. No, she does not. TLD versus second levels, the top level versus second or lower levels. This is intended for the top level, and of course that's for the IDN GTLDs and the IDN CCTLDs both. There's no difference between that. That will be the same solution. The life cycle, you said, does this have to do with the domain life cycle at all? And it doesn't, in the sense that, you know, you register a name and here's the registration period and then you can transfer it and there's all this stuff. That's not what I mean when I talk about the life cycle. I talk about the whole registration process, but also the whole resolution process. What part of the system gets in touch with an IDN, and is there any pieces of that has a variant problem? And I'm not claiming that there is by saying that we need to have that. I'm just saying I think that would be an appropriate thing to have documented and dealt with so that you can say we considered it and there was no problems, or we considered it and here is a problem and it's solved this way. The jig interaction, I think that's really important, and I think it's something that we would want to talk about here. For me, there is at least two areas. One is jig membership or members here being part of the different case studies where that would be relevant, right? So they do need to be specifically focused on those scripts, which means that we will need experts within those individual scripts in each team and each case study. So I'm sure there are some that are going to fall within that and some that are going to fall out, you know, outside that. Now, if you fall outside that, then, you know, I don't know. I think it's a jig discussion on whether you want to keep having the jig meetings as some sort of coordination between what's going on, keeping track of it, or if you want to... you know, close it down until the case studies are done and then reopen it. You know, there's like different models for that. But I think having JIG members being part of the case study teams will be good. Of course, the reports from the JIG is something that all of the case study teams should receive, you know, as input. Here's something that already has been worked on in the community. There's a couple of other reports that we have existing from previous work that I think would be relevant, so that each team will receive like a package of here's what was previously done. You know, we haven't worked out all of the logistics on this, but I imagine that they would, each team would get like a briefing of here's the history. Some, of course, have lived through that and knows it a lot more than others. But so I think there's like a lot of things we can do creatively to make that work well.
Thank you. Avery, you have a question, please?
I had a question, but if you had a follow-up to one of yours, I can wait.
Yeah, just quickly, because on the last point, I think it seems like the teams are envisioned to be a staff-developed team. I just want to say, you know, generally in a concept of process, I think the JIG was created by the GNSO and CCNSO. So, you know, if there are aspects of policy, perhaps, you know, that's the interaction perhaps needs to be there. I guess I have Avery and then Dennis.
Unless, of course, Dennis was following up on what you just said.
Yes, I was. And the teams will be primarily community-driven. How exactly we do that remains to be seen. The idea is that ICANN staff will coordinate and provide some expertise, but we need to bring on board expertise from the community, both to do active work and as voluntary work. And how we get that mixed right is something that we're tossing around at the moment, because we don't have mechanisms. We haven't thought through the mechanisms to do that. But this will be very much community driven. The expertise will be community expertise from the script areas where the expertise resides. That's the model.
Thanks. Just to add a follow-on to that, I think that, you know, the JIG remaining functional and looking at policy issues and contributing the policy issues is sort of separate from anything that the staff would be doing. So I don't know that what the staff was doing would obviate the need for there to be a joint policy looking group. The one question I had, and my attention may have flagged while you mentioned it, but assuming that any technical issues came through in all these studies and all of that, I don't quite understand, and especially since we have two of the leading lights from within IETF sitting in the room, I don't quite understand, other than having the people in both places, how we actually plan from an ICANN perspective to communicate any problems, requirements, issues of a technical nature to the appropriate place, probably the IETF, and I don't quite understand how we do that. It at the moment it seems sort of haphazard, and you know, we run into a friend in the hall and say, by the way, have you heard that we've been having this problem? Or one of us participates in a group and writes an email out of the blue saying we think there's an issue. So I'm really curious to understand how that all works. And as part of that, part of the stuff we talked about is, with some of the stuff that's going on, with some of the things we've discussed, we think we've seen requirements for things that the IETF should at least take a gander at and such. And so I've been confused for years as to how exactly we do that. And is it only you? Is it only the rest of us sort of when we get around to it? I don't understand how we do it.
Okay, thanks, Arvi. This is Tina again. So I guess I focused more on trying to have a discussion on the JIG and interaction with that, because we're in a policy forum. And so I didn't talk so much about the technical side. But one intent is certainly to have a DNS expertise, technical experts who understand the...
Tina, can I interrupt real briefly? This is Suzanne with a kind of a point of order. I want to hear your answer to Avery's question, but I also want to point out that I had planned to talk for a few minutes about exactly the topic of what's currently been happening with DNS EXT, you know, with the efforts of the relevant IETF working group to sort of grapple with all this, which doesn't exactly answer Avery's question, but might help with some background. So I'll defer, but we do have that kind of...
Okay, great. This is Tina again. Yeah, so my answer was going to be really short, so it's probably a perfect segue into your presentation, Suzanne. So I was just going to say the intent is to have those kind of experts on the teams. Now, as Dennis said, we're still sort of like working around how to do that, but that would be the intent. So they have direct involvement in the case studies and are not sitting outside and just randomly or by coincidence being included.
Can I just make one follow-up remark? You said something at the beginning that always sort of makes the hair on the back of my neck have a little bit of a problem, which is, I was just here talking to you about the policy stuff, and of course I didn't mention the technical. And I think that we've seen in this group and elsewhere that the two have that there's a fuzzy area, and that there's a real interconnection between the two, policy sort of, you know, trying to sort of have effect when there's an engineering decision to be made. Do you go right or do you go left? Policy may be able to contribute. And then, of course, the technology sort of setting the set for what is possible in policy. So to sort of indicate that they're separate is always a knee-jerk reaction from me. So sorry, but...
Okay, this is Tina again. So I'm just going to have to get feedback on that, because I think I have always been one of the individuals who have said, when it comes to IDNs, policy and technical are so closely related and there's overlaps, and it means that we need to keep our coordination close. And that means that both areas are important. But so let me say what I probably should have said is, on these case study teams, we're looking at having 1, community representation, 2, linguistic representation, 3, DNS or technical expertise representation, 4, I can't count, it's too early in the morning, 4, policy representation, and 5, operational, like registry operational experience representation. So we did intend to have all of it in there. I was... you know, we're sitting here talking a little bit more informal and loosely about it, which means that details sometimes disappear, but that was the intent.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Tina and Avery. I think that's definitely a good segue into Suzanne's presentation. Thank you, Suzanne Wu, for joining us today, and you have the floor.
Thank you. So I do have a couple of slides here that I've asked Edmund to drive, largely as kind of the high points. More my speaking notes than anything else, but also for the archive and for folks who might not be here. I do want to emphasize again, I'm speaking today here as an individual contributor, because actually I've been involved with a significant number of aspects of how ICANN and the DNS is going to deal with IDN variants in various capacities. But today I'm talking just about a particular piece of the technical work going on in IETF, which has to do with the DNS protocol. Next, please. Thought I'd start really quickly with for folks who may not be familiar with how the IETF gets work done. I know that Avri has experience with the environment there, so she has seen the up close and personal in the IETF the same sense that policy and technology are separate. The IETF concentrates on technical protocol work. DNS, as one of the important protocols of the internet, has a couple of working groups in the IETF. Working groups in the IETF, like here, are made up of the people that are involved with deploying the protocol, making internet work, that have problems that need to be solved. So DNS has a couple of working groups. DNS EXT is the one we're concerned with here because it's about DNS protocol. There's also a DNS op, which deals with best practices, with requirements, with other issues that are not quite protocol but benefit from common thinking about how DNS works and is deployed in the real world. Rough overview of the process, again, and it's very, very hard to get all of this into one slide, but at the high level, people start talking about a problem. People who have a problem start talking about how it would benefit from a common solution across multiple vendors and user communities. If you have a problem, you try to define what a solution would look like. What are the constraints? What are the limitations? What are the things you must have? What are the things it would be nice to have in terms of how do you want to change the behavior of the network to solve your problem? You write protocol specifications if you decide that changing the protocol is part of your solution. You implement in the real world. It's not really a standard in the IETF, and many people who haven't worked in this environment don't know it. But it's not really an IETF standard until people have gone out and implemented it and tried it out in the real world and seen how it works. It can be a specification, but it's not a standard until people have actually used it in the real world. So you implement in real software and you test and see if it solves your problem, and often there are multiple iterations of that kind of process. There's a lot of detail in how things get from one stage of that cycle to another, but that's basically how you get something done in IETF. And I see a couple of my colleagues here who might want to add something to that description. Or not.
Dennis has a Harold.
Sure.
Dennis Jennings. A non-IETF or dumb question. How long does this take to go from specification to testing to actual deployment throughout the internet, given that, you know, it's huge now and there may be no motivation to implement new protocol or change protocols?
It depends. It can be quite short in relative terms, you know, on the same time scales that things can get changed in the policy realms within ICANN, for instance. But it can also, but you touched on a very, very important thing, and one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this here is that when you're talking about a change in protocol to an infrastructure component like DNS, and you're talking about perhaps something in clients, because where the volume is clients. Servers, there's so many hundreds of thousands or millions in the world. Client software that has to know how to use a new feature, many, many, many millions, implemented by many vendors and many kinds of equipment. DNS is one of those things that is always there. It's a part of most of what goes on in the network in one sense or another. So one of the things we've actually looked at is, do we really have to talk about a change to client protocol, because that takes many years to deploy widely, if that helps you. Who was next in the speaking room?
It was Harold and then Avri.
So I noticed that Suzanne glossed over a few of the loops in the protocol. for instance, is quite traditional, that people come with protocol that they have implemented in real software, and we have to talk them out of actually being committed to the solution and actually figuring out what problem they're trying to solve, because it turned out that software doesn't solve the problem it's claimed to solve. So another thing about problem statement thing is that
I have a couple more slides that will get into the specifics of how the problem at hand fits into this, but yeah.
Yeah, there's always. So just that if people who have the problem aren't present, it's very hard to talk to them. So having the process work efficiently is critically dependent on having people with the problem who are willing to talk about it show up.
Thank you, Harold. Avery?
I just wanted to give perhaps another bit of information on Dennis's question. IPv6 is a good example of how long things can take, and I've been the author of protocol specifications and changes to protocols that have never seen deployment. So it can be quite short if it's a small change, and it can be 10, 20 years, infinite, for something major.
Thank you. Suzanne?
Sure, and we can talk some more about this in a few minutes if we want to, but if you'd go ahead to the next slide, please. What I wanted to talk about was how questions about variance fit, how the issues that have been discussed here fit into the context we've been talking about. From the perspective of doing work in the IETF, just to a great extent, we can assume, perhaps with more validity some days than others, that what people mean when they're talking about variance is defined. That doesn't mean, I think, as a matter of my overall assessment of the state of being, that we've completely defined what kinds of variants we're interested in or what kinds of variant problems we have. To the contrary. But as far as doing protocol work in the DNS, what a variant is defined elsewhere. It's defined in policy. It's defined in language tables and some of the work that has already been done. So the key question when we're looking at this from a DNS protocol perspective is, people come to us and say, we have these variants. We've defined what it takes to call something that. We want the DNS to treat these things as the same. So the question in this very narrow, specific technical sense, what does it mean in the DNS to say two or more names are the same? It turns out that you have to rigorously take away things that are policy, like how you decide two or more names are variants of each other. You also, when you're talking about DNS, because it's infrastructure, you have to take away the things that applications do, like figure out what language and script you want to use. A DNS transaction has very, very little context. So a lot of what you think of as an interaction in the network, even though one of the things going on is the resolution of a domain name, the DNS piece of what has to happen in order for an application to do what you want, the DNS piece may be very, very small. And the deep technical question here has to do not only with what do you mean by saying two or more things are the same, but has to do with which part of the answer is interesting and useful and important to put into DNS, into DNS transactions and infrastructure. So we actually have a very narrow question that we have to form fairly clearly before we can answer it here. And it sounds like a narrow technical point to folks who very many times, if you're looking from the perspective of a policy discussion, and the people who are experts in DNS protocol principally are happy to engage with this question. You do DNS protocol work so that the DNS will be more useful, so that you can do more things with the internet. But as protocol experts, you need more input, and Avri touched on this earlier, and Harold also. You need more input from the people in the field that have the problem in order to describe, to get to a description of exactly what you need. Next, please. If you go back to the process overview I did, I said we start with defining a problem. People who have a problem start by describing it. and then describing what they would want a solution to look like, what the constraints and requirements are. It has been very, very difficult within the strictly protocol-oriented context to get to understanding the questions we're trying to ask. The last year has included, oh my God, it's been a year, has included a number of proposals to solve a problem in this space without a rigorous definition of what problems there might be that can be solved in the DNS. So at a certain point, and this took place largely in the IETF meeting in Anaheim, which would have been in the spring, a couple of us got together and said, what we first need is a problem statement in order to sort through the initial possibilities before we start working on a solution. So we're still, what we end up looking at is there a DNS problem in the narrow sense I was just talking about here at all? Maybe what people want is impossible. Not to be too flippant, but I can't paint the DNS blue. I might like to. It would be very interesting to see. But you know, there are certain questions to ask that are just not sensible to answer in the context of DNS protocol. Have applications do it. Have people figure out how they want to work around it. Another possibility is that maybe what people really want, when we get down to it, can be done with existing technology. There's a great deal of sophistication as far as, for instance, registry provisioning. There's a lot of guidance that can be given to applications, authors and protocol writers about how to work with the infrastructure, how to work with the basic services. In addition, depending on exactly what you mean by the same, there are some DNS constructs already in the protocol. So in some senses, what people may end up deciding is that for some problems, some of the time, we already know how to solve them. And because DNS is an infrastructure protocol where it can take a long time to deploy solutions, even when we've clearly identified a problem, and the poster child within DNS specifically is DNSSEC, because even with a compelling problem statement and a clear benefit, it has taken a very long time to get to a standard that can be deployed. So where the absolute insistence of particularly the working group chairs for DNSAXT with regards to this issue is, if there's no new work, let's not do it. But if there is, we need to define clearly what new technology we need and exactly what it needs to do at a boring level of technical detail that only interests specialists and people who have registries and registrars and clients and names and websites and so on to run. But down at the boring level of detail, somebody has to think about it. Next, please. So, and I have to apologize, the URL on that is cut off, but we can go ahead and do a follow-up mail message. I'm the principal editor of the problem statement draft that we've been working on. We just rechartered, so that's actually now on charter. The term we've been using for this set of issues we're trying to look at is aliasing rather than anything to do with variant, because variant is a language and human and user oriented notion. We looked very hard for a word to use instead that would be used to signal we were talking strictly in the protocol context, but aliasing seems to be what stuck. We need more information about what behavior people want, and this goes very directly to Avery's question and Harold's supporting comments, so we can figure out if we need to add new features to DNS to support it. I have to say again, I have to emphasize very clearly, I don't know how much this group has been hearing about what's been going on in the DNS context in IETF and as far as protocol. There have been a number of proposals put forward, as I said, but there is no commitment to any particular proposal to developing it through the rest of that process cycle we just discussed until we figure out if there's a meaningful problem that people in the world have that will be solved by doing more work. And that's what I had. I wanted to just sort of bring in the update. And frankly, I was hoping that we would be able to discuss or get some idea how to move forward with exactly the question Avery asked. Because the DNS protocol experts do not know what the problem space really looks like here.
Thank you, Suzanne. Tina?
Sure. So to your discussion, Suzanne, we have a little bit of time. My next session starts here in 10 minutes next door. So I completely obviously agree with you. And I think that these five study groups, their issues report are supposed to contain these kinds of problem statements. So some of them may have problems and others may not have problems, but once they define the problems, then, you know, if there is one, then I think that would be the input that you're seeking to the ITF. Is that right? I mean, hopefully that's the way we can play it out.
There's certainly some overlap there. We have to be careful that that's what actually happens.
Yeah.
I guess is the short answer. That, for instance, part of what that project does is participate both with, and I'm choosing the word participate very carefully, participates in this process within IETF. And
right. And I didn't mean to just sit in the study groups and then throw it over the wall to the IETF. I know exactly how horrible it is to throw something over the wall that's not what was sought. So, again, the coordination.
Well, the other thing I have to point out, not just as something that would have to be dealt with, the intention with the problem statement document was that it be on a fairly short fuse at this point, after people have gone around basically in circles for a while. What I'm hearing here is that people have been going around and have heard before, have a strong sense of, is that people have been going around in complementary circles, and we might be on the verge of finally getting them to at least start going around in the same circles. So one of the things that may have to happen, and I say this with deep reluctance, is push back some of the timelines that people were expecting for the current instance of how we do this draft and how we do this problem statement.
Sorry, cut it short. We're running short of time. I think everyone is trying to run. I wanted to talk about a little bit about, spend a couple of minutes about a roadmap and process forward, but Avery first.
Now, this feeds right into your roadmap. I just wanted to indicate that the issues report by itself would probably not be enough to be a problem statement. It would need the community and whatever that went into reviewing that, not just that. And I know that's obvious, but I'm picky and wanted to mention it. Thanks.
But also, the problem statement doesn't have to wait on the issues report. They can be complementary, and I think that's what I hope will happen.
Jim, from the co-chair of JIG. Actually, I got a question. I'm not very clear about the roadmap. So staff is going to provide study proposal, and then we're going to form five working group for each script. And then for some kind of level, we're going to get IETF get involved, right? And then what's next? What's next step? I'm quite confused, actually.
Okay, well, so then once these five groups, one for each script, have been formed, they will start conducting the work that will lead into those issues reports. I think at the point in time where that is done, it's necessary to regroup and look at where we're at and what kind of issues came out of that. But certainly if there's problems to be solved, then that is the point in time where we need to get the solutions on the table. And depending on what the issues are, it could be either that we go to the IETF and ask them to solve a certain problem because it needs to be solved technically, or it could be that we're figuring out that there's not a problem that needs to be solved technically, or we already have a technical solution for it, like Suzanne said. And so I think at the point in time where that is done, there's a need to regroup to get the solutions done. Of course, the very end of it is, you know, unless there's problems that we can't solve, then the very end of it is to get into the to the GTLD program and into the IDNC CTLD fast track or whatever the IDNC CTLD process is at the time, the mechanism for getting these variants introduced, unless it turns out that it's something that we can't do. But certainly that's the very final outcome, obviously. You look confused, Jin. So
basically, we're going to provide a separate solution for each particular script. We're not going to provide a solution for a universal problem for variants, right?
Yeah, this is Tina again. Yeah, that's right. And it's quite possible that some of them will have the same solutions and the same issues. Overlaps between them, but the intent is instead of trying to solve the whole world, which we've tried a few times and doesn't seem like it's going anywhere, to look at them individually and see if that's an easier thing to do.
Sorry, was it Dennis first and Harold, or Harold and then Dennis?
One of my hopes, speaking personally, Harold Alvestrand, is that for certain categories of scripts, we come to the conclusion that there is no problem here that is worth solving with a technical fix in the DNS. And, in particular, that's speaking very, very close to home. I think that's the best solution for the internet in the Latin script. And having a study group that addresses one script only makes it much more possible to, I hope, to reach a conclusion that is valid for that script. And, if we try to address everything in the world, we obviously can't reach a conclusion that is valid for just a single script. So that's why I have greater hopes for this version of a plan to move ahead than of previous versions.
Thank you. Dennis?
Dennis Jennings. Well, as you know, I'm no expert at all, but it seems to me that as the issues are identified, it may turn out there are some common issues, and it may turn out that there are quite distinct issues. Some of those issues may be amenable to rigorous specification, and then it may turn out that there's a common set of things that can be specified that could be implemented in a technical solution. It might turn out that that technical solution takes so long that that's not actually a realistic way of addressing it. There might be other issues that can be turned into a spec that could be implemented with registry policy areas, in the registry policy area. And the fact is, I don't think we have any coherent view of the set of issues, the set of requirements, and the set of solutions. So the proposal is, first of all, let's get the issues on the table and start working from there. Some issues may be simple, may lead quickly to a specification of the requirements, may lead quickly to an implementation, may be done for one subset of scripts or one whole set of scripts. I don't know, and I don't get anybody knocking on my door saying, Dennis, it's really dreadfully easy. You just need to do this, this, and this. So now I'll back off because, of course, I just chaired the board working group. I didn't know anything about what was going on, did I, Carol?
You certainly faked fast.
Very appreciate. On that, and actually, you know, the with JIG, when we first convened, one of the things that we were hoping to do was to get some, for lack of a better word, in sort of like an issues report from staff. We understood that Tina was very tied up, so we're very excited actually about the board requesting an issues a set of issues report on this issue so that we can build on top. And I guess to Jane's question is that's I think one of the things in terms of the roadmap and process, this is sort of the group to discuss, you know, how, and of course in coordination with Tina, how the work should interact and with the staff work and actually with the ITF work, and hopefully at least the aspirations of when the jig was formed was to try to play a role in this particular topic. So I know we're running out of time, but I'm just going back to a couple of things that Suzanne said. So besides thanking you to make this presentation, I think it's greatly helpful for the discussion here at the jig. You mentioned about whether DNS is a problem at all. I think that's definitely a very important question as we go through the policies. I think another thing is I'm glad that aliasing is used and there's a certain word for it, because when we talk about variance, just the word variance, I think, is creating a lot of confusion itself. In the jig, what we're trying to say is sort of IDN variant and try to give it a particular definition so that it's not just a general variant in a everyday language type of sense. So that was one of the things that we hope to do, and I think the issues as we go through the issues report and also the studies that would clarify a lot of things as well. So I think those are definitely important aspects. So I think we're at the top of the hour, unfortunately, but I think it was great, very constructive discussion. There's a question there.
Actually, it's not a question. Just echo what the Vice Chair brought to detention. Yes, there's really appreciate to see there's 5 working groups going to focus on the case study. And there's one thing people might already take the case on is there is some community which has working on the variance issue years ago, so they have quite a lot experiment, and some of them have the application already. So they might, even though I'm not an expert, they might have the solution, not only for the technical, also the political solution, policy solution as well. So I think we might want those script move on, not holding back with all the 5 study groups together. That's my suggestion.
Thank you, Joey. Dennis?
Absolutely. That's why they're separate groups. And one of the models is that we'll try to involve those groups that have already done work and try and get leaders out of those groups to participate in the project. I don't remember if Tina mentioned, but this is going to be a funded project. I can't commit to what level of funding and so on and all that stuff, but there's going to be money not only for the staff coordination support, but also for expertise to provide leadership in this area and the communication with the existing groups. This is not to reinvent the wheel. This is to start bringing people together. And indeed, if there are already solutions out there, the issues report will cut to the chase as quickly as possible. Cut to the chase, an English expression, get to the point as quickly as possible.
Thank you. We are running out of time, but actually I think this room is open, so we can run for a few more minutes if everyone is okay with it. So Harold, and then.
So one of the things that I hope we can get done very quickly is to provide a model example of what does an answer look like. So let's get the first report out and see that that it captures the existing wisdom. And you have identified implicitly which script we have the most likelihood of existing knowledge that we can capture. So I really hope this can be done real quick.
Keith?
Thank you, Edmund. Just wanted to make a comment. I'm very new to this topic. I'm not an expert in these technical matters, but I just wanted to say that I'm very encouraged by what I've seen here today in terms of the interaction. This is a very important topic, obviously. So I just wanted to mention that I'm encouraged by the interaction that I've seen today. I just want to encourage the group, to continue working. And I think the road ahead may be difficult, but we've got the right people involved here.
Thank you.
Sean, from St. Nick, just want to update some information to draw attention of the people who are interested into IDN, and I hope it's helpful. As far as I'm aware, the CDNC, the Chinese domain name consortium will provide some public comments on DAC 5 probably today or tomorrow, pretty soon, and to basically wish I can permit adoption of paired delegation of Chinese domain names, just as Harold and Dennis mentioned the different analysis on different particular script. So this is focused on Chinese script. So there will be a detailed rationale discussed in the in their comment or document. Things I'm not authorized to talk on behalf of CDNC, but I think it's better to pay attention to that their comment, their document. Then I think it will be very helpful. So that's it.
Thank you. Definitely, at least at the JIG, we've been very good at, you know, bringing together the work from other forums, and I think CDNC is definitely a very important part of that. Any other questions or comments? That actually, there was one thing I forgot to mention when I was responding to Suzanne. The reason why I really like that you mentioned it as aliasing is because sometimes, and I think Avery pointed out as well, and I think I wanted the people around the table to understand, the problem statement for the ITF work may or may not coincide, you know, totally with what we're talking about here as variants, and that, you know, and in a protocol sense, and, you know, what is same in the DNS, or perhaps, you know, resolved to the same address or resource, it may not be the same thing that we want as a variant IDN variant. So, and I think Suzanne wanted to add to that.
Yeah, this is Suzanne. I just want to, yeah, that's in fact one of the key points that keeps coming up as I move across the different groups and concerns and interests that are playing into how we talk about these things. In order to work together on these complementary aspects of these issues, particularly when you talk about registry operators who have businesses to run, and you talk about policy concerns at the high level, and you talk about these deep technical questions for protocol specialists, one of the things we have been lacking is a common set of terms and a common language for talking about this. And again, that's something that I think we can do partly in the context of the problem statement for the protocol aspects, but that's also something that needs to come out of the staff effort we've been talking about and the community. Just because without consistent language, you end up spending more than half your time talking past each other, and that has, in fact, been a deep problem in this area.
Just adding to that, one of the things that this group talked about in terms of IDN variants is to identify that as we call IDN variant a policy issue, and I'm glad that, you know, if I'm correctly phrasing this, is that the IDN variant, if there is an IDN variant policy, it may make use of the aliasing technology in the future. That's sort of the hierarchy that we're thinking about.
And there may or may not be a need, depending on the policy requirements, there may or may not be a need for dedicated aliasing technology. You know, I can say as somebody who's been working in the protocol area for 15 years that we're happy to do work that will serve a purpose, and we really are not that interested in work that won't.
It's not the same here. Oh, no, okay. First comment.
Yeah, it's probably worth pointing out. I don't think.
Who are you, Lyman?
Oh, sorry, Lyman Chapin. And this is almost more for the record than anything else, but to amplify something that Suzanne said earlier in her presentation, when the issue of variants and different ways of identifying the same node in the DNS inverted tree hierarchy came up, a lot of people assumed that if DNS were designed in such a way that each node in the tree, you know, the familiar root at the top, tree and so forth, if the DNS as an architecture supported multiple labels for the same node, a lot of people assumed that there simply wouldn't be a problem. Now, for those of you, I understand that different people have, you know, different technical backgrounds, but anyone who's familiar with different kinds of file systems that different computer operating systems use. There's a really good example of a operating system that supports this multiple labels for the same node in the structure, Multics. And Multics, you know, there is no issue. You can have as many labels for the same node in the file system as you like. The important point, I think, that's just been made, Edmund, in your exchange with Suzanne, is that even if that facility were available in DNS, which it is not, DNS does not support multiple labels for the same node in the tree. Even if it did, there might still be a need for work in the IETF because the policy requirement might turn out to not be satisfied by simply having two labels that point to the same node. So I think a lot of people have assumed, you know, have made the assumption that, oh, if the DNS just supported this, everything would be fine and all the problems would go away. And I think what you've just made very clear is that that, you know, may or may not be the case, and we won't know until we've dealt with the policy issues.
Thank you, and vice versa in terms of the policy. That means a lot of work ahead for us. And so with that, with no more questions, I thank you, everyone, for joining the JIG session today. I think we had a very constructive discussion. Hopefully, it's actually open for other observers to join the mailing list. So I don't know, you know, if anyone wants to join to observe the mailing list, you're more than happy to, more than welcome to. So just send me or Jane an email, and we'll add you in. Joey, you want the last word?
No, it's just wondering what's the mailing list. I will drop your email.
So, thank you, everyone.